The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, here we are, and this is going to be a night to remember. I hope all of you are ready to sit down, put your feet up, or whatever. 3 hours of history-making radio coming your way tonight. Three remarkable human beings will be here, most notably, of course, David John Oates from Adelaide in Australia, a man who has spent 33 years developing his understanding and making contributions to all of us with his brilliance in the field of what he calls reverse speech. Most all of you know about it, I'm sure. Joining us tonight will be the single most remarkable researcher of the JFK murder and assassination and all the rest of it, of our times, of all times, James Mars. Jimmy Mars, 52 years and counting, researching the JFK murder. He talked to and has known all the principals who were alive back then, most of whom are gone now. He's put it all together in his book, Crossfire. A new edition came out on the anniversary. It is the book to get. And we're going to hear from Jim tonight as we listen to David John Oates' reverse speech. Remarkable display of all the key players, which were actually made without their knowledge, of course, back in the day during the time. And also joining us tonight, Dick Allgaier, one of the most gifted remote viewers in the world, easily, if not at the very top, who has remote viewed the JFK assassination and has been on this program before, along with Jim. We've talked about his remarkable work. More to come from Dick Allgaier in the weeks ahead. He's working on an absolutely sensational project. We'll tell you more about that in the future. But first, let's start and say hello to Dick. Are you there, Dick?
Hi, Jeff. Aloha from Hawaii. We're really spanning the globe tonight, and I'm just thrilled and honored to be on with Jim Mars and David John Oates. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be amazing. All right, Jimmy, are you there?
Howdy from Texas.
Howdy. How are you?
Howdy.
How's that Mercedes?
Oh, man, it's chugging right along.
It's still not pink, is it?
No. Still blue-gray.
I love that color. All right, we'll talk more about that privately. Now, David John Oates has, as I said, given a gift to the world. This is a gift. It is, to keep it simple, the ultimate human lie detector test. We have a subconscious or a superconscious mind that is with us always, and it is always communicating. during our forward conscious speech. All of you, I think, know very well what reverse speech is, so we're not going to spend a lot of time on that. Welcome back, David. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jeff. How are you?
And I'm
to
good.
The other two, gee, I'm so honored to be in such an illustrious group of people tonight. This is very exciting.
It's an extraordinary event, a remarkable occasion. You called me weeks ago and said that you were so excited that you really had never looked into the JFK murder like you have in the last month or so. And what you have found is staggering.
Yeah, well, I really hadn't planned to look into it. I mean, I've had a couple of verses on Lee Harvey Oswald for many years, but they didn't really make much sense to me, and I didn't really look much further. But I was getting ready for one of my shows, and I was going back into some of my old archives, and I found this reversal from Lee Harvey Oswald that I've had for 20 years, and it said all three men are now walking. And I go, what does he mean by all three men? What on earth is he talking about? And so I started digging, and that led to one thing which led to another, and before you knew it, and about a week later, I was right into the whole JFK assassination, trying to unravel it, and one lead led to another, and the plot just kept on getting thicker and thicker and more involved and complicated, and I was obsessed.
We want to also remind everyone, if you go to the right-hand column at Rents and just scroll down there below the radiation box and then the Donald Trump speech reversals box that David John Oates has been so kind to put together, we've got that up there. Right below that is the JFK assassination box. The programs that we've done in the past that I alluded to earlier with Jim Mars and Dick Allgaier are there. You can listen to them. What we have done here is bring together the three most important research efforts into the JFK murder that have ever occurred, I believe, on this planet. And tonight, David John Oates is going to bring us his speech reversals, which are going to stagger you and stun Dick Allgaier and Jim Mars, because it all locks together perfectly like a hand in a glove. It's amazing. David,
yes. I'm always delighted and honored to be on with Dick Allgaier, because literally wrote the book on remote viewing and have even taught it myself and practiced it. I see him as probably one of the best ones going right now. And David John Oates, I want to say it's a privilege to be able to talk with you too, because I've followed your work for a good number of years now. And I think you'd probably agree with me. I don't want to take any one reverse speech comment and base a whole, standard of truth on it. But I have seen over time how valid that your work actually is. But I just wanted to start to kick this thing off by saying, before we get into the reverse speech, let's consider what Lee Harvey Oswald said in his own speech. He said,
yes.
No, sir. They asked him if he had killed anybody, and he said, no, sir, I didn't shoot anybody. I'm just a patsy, okay? Right. Now, that's pretty incredible, because saying I'm a patsy implies that he was set up to take the blame, right? A scapegoat. And yet we've had, we had the Warren Commission. We had the House Select Committee on Assassinations.
Yeah.
We've had the Church Committee. We've had the Assassination Records Review Board. So we've had about four government investigations to the Kennedy assassination, and in not one of them did they consider that, I wonder if Oswald was telling the truth. Maybe we ought to look for evidence that he was just set up, to be the patsy. But they never did. They always started with their preconceived idea that Oswald was guilty, did it all by himself, and then investigated from that standpoint.
You know what amazes me is to think and contemplate how Oswald must have felt when he figured it out before he was killed. He must have felt amazing betrayal, a phenomenal crisis in his soul. He knew he had been set up in the biggest crime of the century.
Yep.
We know who that was like, Jeff.
Huh.
That was comparable to my generation that went off to fight in Vietnam, and now people that are going off to fight in Afghanistan, fight in Iraq.
Uh-huh.
And then, and I think the biggest sense they come back with is we were betrayed.
Absolutely. You got it. Dick Allgaier in Hawaii. We've done programs before. We also had Daz Smith on, another gifted viewer. Your work in remote viewing the JFK assassination was so amazing to Jim Mars, and you can hear that program again. It's in the right-hand column. And I urge all of you to listen to all the programs. But Jim was so amazed, he said, my God, I've heard more evidence tonight from Dick Allgaier than I've been able to put together in 52 years of research. It's amazing. Well, so, and it all fit perfectly.
Yeah, I don't know if I deserve that compliment, but speaking of Lee Harvey Oswald, when he was realizing he was the patsy, I think in my session, when I had the guy, the young guy walking down the street that we think might be Lee Harvey Oswald, I got into his mind at that moment, and that would have been going from the book depository to wherever he went before he went to the theater. He was very confused, like, what the hell is going on? And he was fleeing, but not fleeing. He was like, he needed to get somewhere, but he didn't know where he wanted to go. He wanted to go to a meeting. What I felt was primary in his mind was there's somebody he had to meet with to validate him, and he didn't know how to get a hold of that person, and he frantically wanted, you know, someone can vouch for me, and I've got to get to him. But I just, that moving to be moving was my sense of him.
Just an amazing thing to contemplate. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, Lee Harvey Oswald's reversals, as you'll see, totally verified that he was telling the truth when he said he was a patsy. They're totally congruent, and well, you'll see that as I play it. And I don't know why anyone, as Jim said, has never taken his words seriously. Anyway, you will see tonight that he was indeed telling the truth, and he was a patsy, and he was set up. And yeah, I don't want to give too much away.
Well, let's. Anything to add, Dick or Jim, real quick here?
I'll add real quickly that I met David John Oates at a remote viewing conference in Las Vegas,
yeah,
a few years ago, and we spoke, and we've conversed via email, and I think one of the most important reversals that you've done in recent times, David John Oates, was Leroy Lavoy Finicum, when he was in the car about to be shot, and he said in reverse, "I'm not armed. I'm unarmed."
That one,
I heard that on the show, and it was chilling.
Yeah, yeah,
absolutely. Reverse speech has opened the doors to such astonishing human experience. Wow. Jim, you want to say anything else here?
No, don't get me started on Lavoy Finicum. I mean,
yeah,
you know, there's so much macro scandal going on, but this was a plain out-and-out murder of an honest, God-fearing, law-abiding American citizen trying to stand up for constitutional rights, and the government murdered him, and people need to understand that.
Indeed, indeed.
Yeah, those reverses went up on my website this morning, so you can go to the reverse speech site and listen to the ones on Lavoy Finicum. So.
Very good. All right. David Oates, floor is yours, maestro.
Okay, so let's begin. Okay, now look, I don't pretend to be an expert on the JFK assassination. Let me state that right up front. And I'm sure Jim's going to be able to add some understanding that I don't have. Most of the work I've done has been in the last week. I've gone to the internet, looked at videos, and tried to piece together what I've found. But I do claim to be an expert on reverse speech. So what we're going to do, we're going to start off with reversal I've played on the air many times. This is the second example of reverse speech that I ever found. And this is a live commentary, the assassination. So here we go with the forwards.
Just a moment, please. Something has happened in the motorcade. Stand by, please. Parkland Hospital, there has been a shooting. Parkland Hospital has been advised to stand by for a severe gunshot wound. The president's car is now going past me. The limousine is now traveling at a very high rate of speed.
Okay, this is a very well-known reversal in reverse. He's shot bad. Hold it. Try and look up.
He's shot bad. Hold it. Fire up.
Very clear example.
He's shot bad. Hold it. Fire up.
I'm sure you'll agree that's all fairly clear. And,
you know, and again, what I want to say just one time tonight is the more intense the human experience, usually the more clear the reversal.
Right, exactly right, yes. And it should be noted that a lot of these reversals I found, you'll be stunned at how clear some of them are, particularly around the week of the assassination. And I've looked up beyond that, and the reversals drop off in clarity and in frequency. So, but right in the week of the assassination, they were very, very clear.
Wow.
Okay, now we're going to look at some interesting reversals on Lee Harvey Oswald in two radio interviews and a TV interview he did in August of 63, 3 months prior to the assassination. Now, very interesting reversals because they clearly show that he knew that something was happening. And so we're going to start off with the first one. And here we go.
Well, as I say, Castro's Cuba, even after the revolution, was still a one-crop economy.
And this one says, I'm not too sure what this one means. It says a week's attack.
A week's attack.
A week's attack.
And again.
A week's attack.
And he uses the word a week's attack. He uses the word a week three or four times throughout the whole of this interview. Now, I should say, reverse speech is normally complimentary. It normally relates to the forward. But in this one interview with Lee Harvey Oswald, it doesn't relate to the forward. There is a second subscript going on. Then we hear this reversal here. We'll run this one forwards.
The fact that I did live for a time in the Soviet Union gives me excellent qualifications to repudiate charges that Cuba and the Fair Play for Cuba Committee is communist controlled.
Now, I've had this reversal for about 15 years, and I've never really known what it means. There's two sentences right next to each other. It says, hear them, is the first sentence, followed by the wish to kill president. So here we go. Hear that one okay, Jeff?
Oh, it certainly is there. The wish to kill president. There? Yep.
So there's two key aspects of that about that reversal. First of all, hear them. So he's listening to others. So there's other people involved, and he's aware of a plot to kill the president. So
could it be, David, that when you say weak, the word weak, weakly, weak was in there, that the entire operation would take place over the period of time, a week?
That, well, you put the words right in my mouth. I was actually going to say that when I played a couple of the ones ahead. So, yeah, you're one step ahead. But yes, I believe this was a week operation to take place over a week. So he says, hear them.
You know, this that interview, I believe that film clip was from his radio talk in New Orleans, right?
Right. Yes, it was. Yes. This
okay,
is,
so that's the late summer of 63. And according to his girlfriend there at the time, not his wife, but his girlfriend, Judith Berry Baker, that he was aware at that time that there was plotting against Kennedy. And so he was acting on behalf of the U.S. government as a low-level operative. And that's so he was playing a role, but he was also aware that this assassination talk was going on. In fact, probably was trying to play close attention to that to figure out what was going on.
Oh, well, there you go. I wasn't aware of that.
Go ahead, Dick.
Let me ask a question of Jim. Wasn't there some evidence, Jim, that Lee Harvey Oswald stopped an assassination attempt in Chicago, that he was an FBI informant and there was someone named Lee that that tipped them off?
Yeah, that's true up to a point. We it's not been definitely proven that that was Lee, but I strongly suspect it was. A few weeks before the actual assassination, Kennedy was to make a trip to Chicago, and the FBI suddenly put out word that they'd gotten word from an informant that there was to be an assassination attempt, and they changed their plans all up, and that never quite happened. But according to the first black Secret Service agent who was in Chicago at the time, he said that all he knew was the informant's name was Lee. So I strongly suspect that, yes, that was Oswald. We also know that, or I know, I can't prove it because the FBI took it up, but there was a letter to the Dallas police a week or so before the assassination warning them that there was going to be an attempt on President Kennedy's life, and it was signed Alex J. Heidel, which was his alias, the alias of Oswald, of course. And the police, at that time, they had no idea who Alex J. Heidel was, so they simply filed the letter away. But then Friday of the assassination, over that weekend, I was told by a lot of the police officers that the FBI came into Dallas Police Headquarters and just rummaged through the whole place, ransacked the place. They even went and looked in the saddlebags of motorcycle officers, looked through their lockers. And anyway, this letter then was taken and has never been seen again. So there's an indication, though, that Lee, in certain ways, was trying to warn people of what was going to happen. He told his girlfriend, Judith Baker, that she begged him to get out. He said, I can't get out. He said, if I try to get out, they'll kill me. And he said, but if I stay in, maybe that's just one less gun shooting at Kennedy.
Wow. Well, he never knew that he was already a dead man.
Right. Well, I think he knew there was a big plan. I think he knew he may have had some role in it. But I don't think he realized probably until after he had left the book depository that I think he began to dawn on him that he was the designated patsy.
I that's why I mentioned earlier, I can't even imagine what that must have been like for a human being. The enormity of that, Jim, is just really incalculable.
Well, you know, I'm certain in my belief that he tried to warn his intelligence superiors in the government, and I think he was thinking, well, you know, they'll let this go right to the 11th hour, and then they'll step in and stop it, you know. And when it actually happened, I think that threw him into total confusion because until then he'd been playing spy games. But he always reported back to people in the federal government, and I think he felt like, being a patriotic, honest American, that, you know, he was doing his bit and that they'd take care
of him. They'd take care of him,
You'll see that by the reversals. Everything you've just said, I've got in the reversals.
Okay.
That's amazing.
Okay. Go right ahead, David.
Great, okay.
All right, so now, the next reversal, he mentions one of the names of the people who he's... let's just play it.
These peasants are uneducated. They have one of the lowest living standards in all of the Western Hemisphere.
And here he says, evil soul of Hoover.
Evil soul of Hoover.
Evil soul of Hoover.
You hear that, Jeff?
Evil soul of Hoover.
Yeah, it almost sounds like even soul, not evil.
Oh, even. Well, let's play it again. Let's play it again.
You will tell us nowhere.
I can hear the L.
You will tell us nowhere. You will tell us nowhere.
Well, that's the first clue.
Is that even?
No, I'm hearing evil.
Evil? Okay, I got an N over here, but that's no big deal because the issue is Hoover, and there it is.
The issue is Hoover, and we're gonna talk a lot about Hoover. I've got a lot of reverses on him that will... I don't want to give it away.
Okay.
All right, so here we have the week again. Let's run this one forwards.
The principles of the Fair Play for Cuba consist of restoration of diplomatic trade and tourist relations with Cuba. That is one of our main points.
And here he says, a weak to kill powerful.
A weak to kill powerful. A weak to kill powerful.
You hear that one there?
What is it, David? A week to kill what?
Powerful. P-O-W-E-R-F-U-L.
A week to kill powerful. Okay. Would you play that again, please?
Sure.
A week to kill powerful. A week to kill powerful.
You hear that one there?
A week to kill president.
Sorry?
I thought he said president. A week to kill president.
You know what? Someone else said president to me when I played them that.
Let's go one more time on that.
Run it again.
A week to kill president.
You know what?
I'm with Jim on that one.
I'm with Jim on that one too. You're absolutely right. You know, someone else told me said that too. Okay, well there we have the week again. Okay.
Yeah, that's the second time. A week to kill president. Wow. Now
he knew it was going to take place during that week when Kennedy was traveling to Texas.
Exactly yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Now, David, a quick question. Was this information known consciously to Lee Harvey Oswald at that time?
Yes.
Or was he picking any of that up from the ethos?
This is known consciously. Otherwise, he'd be speaking in metaphor.
Okay,
so
very good.
That's the difference between the metaphor. If it's an unconscious, it's going to have a high cryptic metaphorical content to it.
Got it. Okay.
But these are straightforward, everyday reversals.
All right. So it sounds like it was a week-long operation, Jim Mars, and set up and all the rest of it. And we got two times now a week. All right, David, go ahead.
All right, next one along.
And at no time was I out of contact or with the American Embassy.
And here he says, it's a mighty crime.
It's a mighty crime.
It's a mighty crime.
Wow.
It's a mighty crime.
Super
speaks
clear.
Itself. Yep, super clear. That's the phrase that you are going to see come up a lot in these reversals, a grave sin on LBJ, enormous crime on one of the senators, Senator Russell.
All right. Don't give it away. Let's go.
I'm sorry.
Amazing. David, by the way, David called me at least twice, so excited about this material. He said, I have never in my career come across material like this. He was just amazed. And yeah,
I haven't got to the good stuff. Where's just
well, that what we just worked on, and Jim pointed out, and he's right, that the word is president there again.
It is president. Yes, someone else told that to me. All right, should have listened. All right, next one along. Here we go.
And because of the fact that the United States government has imposed restrictions on travel to Cuba, he is now under indictment.
And here he says, the weak to love modern and a four-letter word starting with S. So here we go. Lee, comma, the weak to love modern blank.
Lee, the weak to love modern script.
Lee, the weak to love modern script.
And that tells me that modern technology will be used in this week-long operation, is how I interpret it.
In other words, high-tech in planning and execution. Very,
exactly correct.
Very,
yes.
Very well. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly what that tells
me. Well, that's what Dick Allgaier was able to come up with his remote viewing and Jim Marr's research also. Uh-huh. This was a very, very well done, executed, no pun intended, operation.
And I must say, I did see the remote viewing video two or three days ago. I watched it, and it's almost identical to what I've discovered in reverse speech. I was just stunned. I was just amazed by what I saw.
Well hey, David, truth is just truth.
Yeah, I know. You're absolutely right.
You and I and Dick, we're not telling anything but what we know, or at least believe, is the truth.
All right, okay, so the next one, where's it gone? Hang on. Now I've lost it.
By the way, while you're looking, yes, there was high technology involved, particularly in radio communication. They were using some of the latest, at that time, the most recent and most technologically advanced radio-type equipment.
Yeah, very good.
All right, look, you know what? The reverse I'm looking for has disappeared from my folder, so I'll just play it straight off my website. So we'll just go down. This is an important reversal because it shows he has some knowledge. Let's run this forward. And here we go.
You cannot point at Castro and say that he is a Russian puppet. He is not. He is an independent person, an independent leader of his country, and I believe that was pointed out very well during the October crisis, when Castro very definitely said that although Premier Khrushchev had urged him to have on-site inspection at his rocket bases in Cuba, that Fidel Castro refused.
And here he says in reverse, the weakness is in the car.
The weakness is here, the car.
The weakness is here, the car.
Car's a bit short.
The weakness is here, the car.
And he's that's the weakness. That's
wide open, of course.
Yeah,
the weakness amazing.
So he's got knowledge of this plot. Okay, here in the wish to kill president, a week to kill president, a week's attack. So you hear. So this is a week long operation.
And he's going to be shot in the open topped car, the limo.
Right.
Amazing. Exactly right. Can you play that one, please, again, with Lee Harvey Oswald with the word president at the end? That was another biggie.
Okay. I think I'll find it. Yeah. It's okay. I'm just going off my transmit. I think I closed it out a week to kill. Okay. It's still open here. Okay. Here it is. A week to kill president. Let's run it forward.
The principles of the fair play for Cuba consist of restoration of diplomatic trade and tourist relations with Cuba. That is one of our main points.
Okay, a week to kill president.
A week to kill president.
Yes, there it is.
A week to kill president. A week to kill president.
Jim Mars, he knew. He knew the plan. He knew the basic game plan. He had it in his mind, all of it.
Right, and I mean there were others. Joseph Miltier, the right winger in Florida, had told a police informant, they had it recorded. This was about a week before the assassination, and he said, "Yeah, he's going to be shot with a rifle from a high building while riding in the car." So this was apparently was known among the people involved.
Wow. All right. David, go ahead.
All right, this next one, I'm not too sure what it means. I have questions over this one, but we'll play it. Here we go with the forwards.
Well, that is, of course, very provocative and question. I don't think it requires an answer.
And he says, made a powerful gun.
Lady Harbor Fence.
Lady Harbor Fence.
But this was 3 months beforehand. Now, I know with the interviews with James Files, he talks about ammunition.
Oh, Jim Mars?
Yeah.
What was it again? Made a powerful gun?
Yes, but this was 3 months beforehand.
Okay. Is he talking about the special rounds that were to be fired?
That's entirely possible. The bullet had been loaded with mercury so that it would explode. So yeah, that's possible.
All right, that's a very powerful gun. Okay.
Yeah, all right.
Can I?
Yeah, go ahead, Dick.
Here.
Go ahead.
Okay, I did reversals on my own session and found a few. And one, when I was looking at the guy that we thought was maybe George Herbert Walker Bush, I'm probing him, and I say he has the gun. He has the gun.
Oh,
would he have been a person, Jim Mars? Was he an operational guy at that point? Would he have been arranging guns?
I wouldn't think so. But then, you know, stranger things have happened. Maybe he was in a position to receive a gun from one of the shooters and take it out of the plaza. Because there are
play
those.
That later. There was something to do with somebody's got the gun when I was looking at the planners. But
okay,
we'll go back.
They had this eye. For those of you who are new to the subject, or maybe the program content and the idea we're putting forth here, is that this operation was so high-tech, equipment and planning, that the guns were passed off and removed by second and third parties immediately after the shooting.
Yep. Anyway, we're going to get moving on here. I got a lot of reverses.
Go
to
ahead,
get through.
David. Yeah, we'll back
up. All right, here's the next one.
I think it's rather obvious as to why and when and where, because of the fact that we certainly don't have any trade with him. We are discouraging trade with that country.
And he says, they're powerful. You got that one?
So I got it.
So people involved in this are powerful. Now, here we have a reversal that's very important. I wish it was clearer. Normally, I'd throw this one out, but it's such an important reversal, I want to play it, okay? So here's the forwards.
And are you a Marxist?
No, this is from his TV interview, okay? It was just a small little two-minute clip.
And are you a Marxist?
Well, I have studied Marxist philosophy, yes, sir, and also other philosophers.
Reversal says, here to serve White House. But the house is long and drawn out, and the S is a fair bit after the house. It's one reason why I normally wouldn't use it. So see if you can hear this.
Here to serve the house.
Here to serve the house.
You hear that?
Here to serve the house.
I certainly hear house, and that passes, David. I don't think it's too long. I can't make out the beginning, though. That's
right.
A tough one.
Yeah, that is a bit of a tough one. It's significant, though, because it shows he was working for the U.S. government.
Well, White House on there at the end is there, for sure. And I don't think that House is too long. I think it's fine.
Okay, all right. And that fits with what you've found out, too, Jim. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. In fact, there was a secret group formed by Kennedy following the Bay of Pigs when he felt like he had been double-crossed by not only the Pentagon but the CIA, and he set up his own little committee called the Kennedy Committee, KENCOM for short, and he was trying to go circumvent the Pentagon and the CIA to try to get information coming straight to the White House. So it's entirely possible that Oswald, as a low-level intelligence agent, had been recruited into KENCOM, and he might actually have been reporting things back to the White House. And then if you'll think about that, that would make it absolutely perfect to get name him as the assassin, because then Robert Kennedy would have to clam up. He couldn't admit that he knew about Oswald ahead of time, since all of the evidence was pointing towards his guilt, and they got rid of a double agent in the process.
Okay, all right, that's all I got on Oswald for the first, for prior assassination. Now we're looking at Oswald from his short comments after he was arrested, okay? So here we have the thoughts.
These people have given me a hearing without legal representation or anything. I didn't shoot anybody, no, sir.
And here he says, the killer was careful. You hear that one?
That's a little muddy in the beginning. I hear was careful, but I can't make out the beginning.
Okay, all right, well then we'll dump it and move on. I don't want to work with reversals that you can't hear. Okay.
Well, I think maybe if you study that more later and enhance it, you might get that nailed down. It's just a little bit muddy. But now that's fascinating, because I want to say one thing and then I'll get out of the way.
Yep.
Lee Harvey Oswald and Jim Morris, that man is telling the truth. You hear it in his voice, not only just now, but in the earlier interview. He is a young man, very intelligent. He's speaking the truth. He's not BSing or lying. And when he said, no, sir, I didn't shoot anybody, man, he's telling it straight. That's the way I hear it.
Yeah, hey, listen to this one.
True. And if you had listened to the complete interview with him on New Orleans radio, you know, he's supposed to be this crazed lone nut assassin.
Oh, no.
He is very, very smart, and he rattles off numbers and statistics and information about Central and South American countries. I mean, the guy knew what he was talking about. He was a good study.
Very good. Yep. All right.
All right, here he is again.
You buy that rifle just as fast as you people have been getting, but I emphatically deny these charges.
Emphatically denies his charge, and he says, see, I'm the give-up.
Be down, but you got.
Be down, but you got. Be down, but you got.
Hear that one, Jeff?
Yes, I do. See, I'm the give-up. He absolutely emphatically denies that again. You're right. Wow. Stunning stuff.
When he says, I'm the give-up, that's essentially saying I'm the sacrificial lamb, right?
Right. I'm the scapegoat. That's it. All right, David, go ahead. Whoop! Did we lose David? We might have lost him. We'll get him right back if we did, unless certain people don't want this program to proceed without impediments, which could be the case. Didn't hear any drop-off there, but we'll get him back. All right, so far, Lee Harvey Oswald is coming forward, Jim Morris, impeccably. I mean, he's I am shocked. He is a very upstanding, obvious professional in the field of intelligence work.
Right.
And as you said, he's no dummy, man.
Well, and let me back up a minute here. There was mentioned starting in the program the fact that I think you mentioned it, that he was felt betrayed, and he both David and Dick were saying that he was looking for someone to contact. You know, to so let me give you this little scenario, and most people don't know about this. While he was in the city of the jail there in Dallas, you know, you're supposed to get your phone call. Well, there was a telephone operator there, she was just coming on to duty, and the regular phone operator was still at the switchboard, and while she was there, these two guys in suits came in, federal officers apparently, and talked to the main switchboard operator that was actually working there, and they said, "You're going to get a call from the jail in a minute," and they said, "We need to talk to you," and they took her off and talked to her, and then she came back, and sure enough, a few minutes later, call came in from the jail, and she wrote it down. And I am looking at a copy of the receipt because this other, the news operator that was coming on duty, thought, knew this was from Lee Harvey Oswald. I mean, he's all over the news. She knew this was a big deal. So she made a copy of the long-distance message slip, and it was from Lee Harvey Oswald to a Mr. John Hurt, H-U-R-T, in Raleigh, North Carolina, and there were two numbers given. It was also a collect call, which is, of course, what you do when you're in jail because you don't have any money. And the operator that was there on duty did not even try to place the call. She simply said, "I'm sorry, there's no answer at that number," apparently following the instructions of these federal agents.
Right, right.
So the alternate operator thought that was kind of strange, and she kept this, and she then turned it over later to the House Select Committee on Assassinations. Now, they checked to find out who's this John Hurt and of these numbers, and the numbers they had for a John Hurt in North Carolina was a retired military intelligence officer, okay, who had been present and teaching at Nag's Head, North Carolina, where my friend and CIA pilot Tosh Plumlee said he met Oswald during training while he was in the military and training for his spy work, and that this John Hurt had been there. That was his contact.
His contact
with John Hurt, who, as a retired intelligence officer, could not be traced to him and he or anybody else, but John Hurt could have put him in touch with his controller.
Fascinating.
And yet the federal government stopped him from making the phone call.
Wow. You back, David? Gup, we don't have him yet. All right. We will get him. If we have to, Todd, just get him on the regular telephone. David was on Skype. And we'll have to use a regular landline if we need to. And the reversals will be clear enough. Hopefully we can get him back on there. All right. Dick Allgaier, in your remote viewing, you had what you thought was Lee Harvey Oswald, a young man walking down the street. But tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, at the time, I didn't think it was Lee Harvey Oswald.
Now you do.
I
got it.
Well, now I do. Yeah, at the time, I had no idea what the target was. I popped onto Target, and I was on a street, and this young guy came up and looked at me and walked by. And my feeling, like I said, was that he was very confused at that moment, just needed to get somewhere, needed to get to a meeting, and just felt like something had gone very wrong, but he didn't understand how or why. That was my sense of it. And then as I was doing that session, the thought of, okay, I've got to meet with these guys, I said to myself in the session, well, who's he got to meet with? And then I went to the planners. So It's an interesting thing. Hey, Jim, have you ever played with remote viewing? Have you ever tried, I mean, not remote viewing, reverse speech?
The person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable. Please leave a message after the beep.
Well,
that was an Australian operator there.
Yeah. I told the network to try to get him on a regular landline, and so that was what you just heard there. I'm now beginning to...
Dick, in answer to your question, I have some experience with remote viewing, and I've done some pretty good remote viewing myself, not as good as you, but no, I have not really dabbled myself in reverse speech, but I found the whole subject quite fascinating, and as I told David early on, I have followed his work, and I am a believer that there is some validity to it.
Okay, here we go. Gentlemen, let me ask you to pause on that. David has rejoined us, and we're going to go right up to the top of the hour, Todd, and pick up the minutes that we've just had to sidestep there. What happened, David? Any idea?
I called back on the phone.
Okay, so you are on a regular phone. All right, good. Yeah, well, I don't think that was an accident. I'm not surprised. All right, go ahead, and let's proceed.
Okay, see if you can hear this reversal. See, I'm the giver. That's the last one I played. I'll play it again.
All right, yeah.
Be thou the good God. Be thou the good God. Be thou the good God.
See, I'm the give up.
Okay.
Yeah, we got it.
So he was a patsy. That's exactly what he says forwards. He's the one who was given up. He suddenly realized, oh, I'm the one who they've set up for all of this. I'm the one they've given up, if you know what I mean.
Oh, sure. Okay. Scapegoat, you bet.
Yep. All right, so next one along.
Collecting legal representation. These police officers have not allowed me to have any.
And here he says, I'll reveal the killer.
Oh, that's stunning.
Right. So he was ready to say what he knew as soon as he got legal representation. Because that reversal occurs right as he says, I'm lacking legal representation. So as soon as he got that, he was ready to talk about what really happened.
He was going to sing, Jim Mars. That's amazing.
Yeah, now do you understand why they had to activate Jack Ruby to shoot him down in the basement of the police station?
They didn't waste time. They called that plan out.
They couldn't wait because he would, you know, if he thought he had gotten in a safe circumstance, I think he would have spilled the beans. He would have told everything he knew.
He had been betrayed so hugely that, no oaths, no promises, nothing. They're all out the window. He was going to tell it exactly like it was. Wow.
Yep. Now, here's reversal that got me started on this whole adventure. Here's the forwards.
I didn't shoot anybody, sir. I haven't been told what I'm here for.
You have a lawyer?
No, sir, I don't.
And this reversal says, all three men are walking.
All three men are walking.
You hear that one?
That is so clear, it's scary.
Yep. So three men involved, or three teams. Men could be metaphoric for team, I don't know. But
he
knows of three separate men or teams.
Trigger men,
who are
shooters.
Walking away. They're walking away, and I'm the one they've given up.
Yep.
This is what's going through his mind. Oh, the three men are walking. I'm being given up here. I'm going to reveal the killer.
The three men, Jim Mars, the three men would be the three shooters, correct?
This is standard sniper tactics, a triangulation of fire, three shooters, okay? But I think, obviously, there were three shooters, but there were three teams. Because each shooter had probably at least one backup, somebody to protect him while he's shooting, and somebody to police up the spent cartridges and eliminate any evidence of the scene. This is standard military intelligence sniper ambush techniques.
Amazing to hear. May you can play that one more time if you want, just the reversal.
Yep, sure. All three men are walking.
All three men are walking.
That's pretty clear.
That's damn clear. Wow.
Yeah. I thought, what three men? Who's he talking about? Right.
Yeah.
All right. So that's what I've got on Oswald. A conclusion, he knew about the assassination attempt at least 3 months prior. He was not the shooter. He was given up, but he knew who the shooters were, and he was ready to start talking.
He also knew that the assassination was planned to occur with Kennedy in the open-top limousine on the road. Wow.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yep.
This is stunning.
Okay. Let's move on.
All right. Who's up? This might be a good place to pause for a few minutes. Who's up next on your list?
LBJ and then Hoover.
All right. Let's take our break and get that done. And maybe we can come back a little early, depending if you can get... Is your internet still down?
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong. I don't know why it's down. I'll have a look at while we're on that break.
All right. We'll take a break and be back in just a few minutes. A remarkable first hour, and I think a lot of you have heard more about Lee Harvey Oswald from Lee Harvey Oswald than you ever have before, and what he was thinking and what was going on in his mind when he realized he had been left to swing in the wind. Wow. Be right back. Hold on.